Yes, I'm sorry. There's one announcement that I need to make first in the service today, and that is that I have another nephew. There's not enough lieb men in our world. We needed one more. I have like how many nephews and then two nieces. It's just kind of hilarious how it works out. We have the my three son club in our family, and my one sister missed out. But anyway, it's really, really great. And it's a particularly adorable child too, let me tell you. Yeah. Almost as cute as mine. Yeah. Well, very good then. Folks, it is wonderful to be gathered here again as we continue to celebrate this season of Lent. And today we are able to be here because our God has made his mission reconciling us to himself, connecting us back to himself. In sin, we fell away from him. In sin, the sin became a barrier between us and God. We were no longer able to have the relationship with God that he had always dreamed to have. And he was not okay with that. And so he died and made it possible for us to be reconciled, to have that relationship fixed. And as we remember the reconciliation that our God has done for us, let us remember the day that we were reconciled, the day that we were baptized and brought into his family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you. We thank you that you have made us your own. We thank you that even though we didn't deserve it, you paid the price so that we could be your children and that we can stand in your presence today, Lord, as your precious, redeemed, perfect, yet sinful children. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us today. Send your spirit to work in our hearts and our minds. Help us to absorb this word. Help us to take it in and to make it our own so that we are able, Lord, to so that you can bring it to remembrance, Lord, in the time when we need it, and that you will give us words to speak it as we bring comfort to our to those that you have given us to love. Thank you, Jesus, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let's stand and confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing the first song together, giving praise to this God.
Sacred story gathers round
sermon text for today is Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 through 22. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inward part. It's the season of Lent, and so we've been, you know, this is the season for us to be introspective and to look at the perfect mirror of our God's law and assess where we stand. And this is a sin that we don't talk about a lot, you know? The whole idea of using our words in a destructive and in a way that doesn't bring peace. And I think sometimes we don't talk about it very much because we don't understand exactly how strongly God feels about it. All right? And so there's a few verses I was going to read. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree with the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and think that godlessness is a means to financial gain. And then Romans 1, 28 to 30. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. That's pretty strong language. So that they do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, and strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. See the sins that God groups along with the gossip? I mean, when God gave us the Ten Commandments, he dedicated one commandment to this. And the question I have is, why does God feel so strongly about this? Why is this such a big deal to him? And I think the answer is that, you know, it's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. You got to remember how this all began, right? Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, they fell into sin, and their sin alienated them from God. It ruined the relationship between the created people that God loved so much and the Creator himself. And that was tragic and horrible. And God was not okay with that and spent, you know, all of the time between that, between the Garden of Eden and Jesus coming and still today fighting that and putting that relationship back together between, you know, God and each individual person that he created because he loves these people so much. But that wasn't the only relationship that was damaged in Eden. I mean, how long did it take for Adam and Eve to start pointing the finger at each other? I mean, you know, it's the woman you gave me. Although, was that really blaming Eve or was that blaming God for giving him Eve? You know what I'm saying? I mean, kind of hard to tell, but nevertheless, in either way, Eve didn't want to hear that, right? Yeah, it's definitely not the loving response of a man taking responsibility for a sin. So, you know, they fell into sin and immediately turned on each other. And how long was it before the first murder? Yeah, not very long. And the thing is that Jesus came to save us from our sin, right? He came to make it so that our relationship with God would be fixed, and he did that. He paid the full penalty for our sin, and we now, because of the faith that we receive in our baptism, we have that assurance of eternity. We know we can go to God in prayer and that he will hear us. We know that we can come to his house and he will feed us. We know that he walks with us every day of our lives and guides us and helps us and gives us words to say and comforts us during distress. And he does all these things for us. But there's more relationships that God came to fix. He came to fix relationships between people. And let me read you this. Where is it? There it is. This is Paul talking in 2 Corinthians, and he's talking first about that fixing the relationship between us and God, and then he goes into something else, and he says this: from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Wait, I thought God did the ministry of reconciliation. Now all of a sudden we have it. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Well, what's that about? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. So there it is. We have been redeemed and we have been reconciled with God. But God gives us this ministry of reconciliation, and the question is, well, what exactly is that? And well, in a very large part, it is spreading the gospel, talking to people who aren't reconciled to God and bringing them into the same faith relationship with God, or at least speaking the gospel so God can bring them into that same relationship, just as we were brought into that relationship by somebody else. Right? I mean, that we are the ones that carry the message of the gospel. And by carrying that message of the gospel, we do our part in more people being reconciled to God. Correct? Is that the end of our ministry of reconciliation? Well, the thing is that God did more than just reconcile us to God. God worked to reconcile us to each other. Because God loves us, and he loves you, and then he loves you, and he wants both of you to get along, because both of you are his children, right? I mean, he wants each and every one of his children to live in harmony and to live together so that we can continue to mutually encourage one another through the difficulties of life and through the joys of life so that we can continue to live. Because to be honest with you, this world is hard, and it requires a lot of people to help us and to help us through all of this. It requires God to help us, but who does God use? Well, his people. You know, I mean, if we're his hands and feet in this world, then we're his hands and feet. And so if somebody needs help, it's our privilege, responsibility, and duty to help, right? So what happens if we see two of our brothers or sisters that are not living in accord? They aren't getting along. Say one person has been rude to the other or done something to hurt the other, right? So let's see. How can we go into this situation and help? Do we go to the person who was hurt and commiserate with them and talk about it at length so that we can make sure that their feelings stay stirred up? You know what I'm saying? I mean, do we go there? I mean, does it make peace between the two brothers if we go to the one who is hurt and just talk to them? What do you think we need to do? Go and talk to the one who did the hurting, right? And help them to understand what it is they actually did. So how well do you think that's going to go all the time, right? I mean, first time you walk up to somebody and say, you know what, you really messed up. Well, first of all, do we want to say it just quite like that? I mean, probably not. Because remember, we're not going up to somebody as a perfect person helping a sinful person. We're just not doing this. That's not how this works at all, right? We're beggars helping other beggars find food. We're just as messed up as they are. We're not talking to them to judge them and to make them feel bad. That's not our goal. Our goal is to reconcile two people of God with each other. Is that important? If God thought it was important enough to die on the cross to reconcile that person with himself, it's probably worth our time too, right? And so the thing is this, is that if I have these two people and they're obviously just not getting along, I go to the one who did the hurting, as best as I can tell, right? And talk to them and help them to see their sin. What's the goal? That they would eventually see what they have done and have an opportunity to go to the person who they hurt and become reconciled with the person. Now, is the person going to be able to make up for the sin? Are they going to be able to fix the sin and make it as if it never happened? Are they going to be able to unhurt the feelings, unfix the damage, or unbreak the damage? Yeah, it'd be the unbreak the damage. Is it going to be? Well, no, that's not possible. So how is reconciliation going to happen? The same way it happened with between us and God. That when we come to God and we ask for forgiveness, Jesus forgives us even though we don't deserve it. And this is the ministry we are called to. That we would be running, that we would have as our mission in life, that this would be our avocation, that we would go and help, that we would help people, you know, get into the proper relationship with God, you know, through word and through teaching, through confession, through receiving the forgiveness that Jesus has for us, but also that we would help others get along. And that we would get along with others. Because don't forget about that, right? I mean, how many of us have come to this place and we can think of all the times that somebody has hurt us and the times that we kind of, we find those people that are, it's just better if we don't spend time with them. It's just better if we don't see them and we push them out and wall them out. And what we say when we do that is that that person isn't worth the trouble. But can we ever say that? Is there a person not worth the trouble? And if the person is worth the trouble, then how does that affect our decisions, our choices, and how we go about this? And so what does that mean for us? And this is another one of those messages that's going to require introspection and thought and consideration. And I mean, because this is one of those things that the more you give it thought, the more you realize I've really messed up. You know, I've not gone to somebody who's offended me because I just didn't want to deal with them. You know, I've not taken responsibility for something that I did to somebody else. I passed over opportunities to make peace between brothers and sisters because I just didn't want to get involved and deal with it. It's kind of hard, it's kind of uncomfortable, and I just didn't really want to do it. But Jesus thought it was worth it. You know, he suffered and died on the cross so that we could be reconciled to the Father, but he also died on the cross so that we could be reconciled to each other. And if this is our ministry, if this is our purpose, is this ministry of reconciliation, how backward is it when we use our words instead to drive people apart and to hurt people? It's the unreconciliation. It's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. Causing dissension, causing strife, causing pain, causing problems. Stirring things up and making things worse rather than better. And so the question is this, is that, I mean, here What one of the ways that we can really do this wrong is say that I get offended, right? Somebody does something and hurts my feelings. Well, who do I talk to? Do I talk to a third party or a fourth party or a fifth party and just kind of share what happened to me and how badly my feelings are hurt? Say I go to the people who love me most and tell them about how somebody has offended me, right? What's going to happen? They're going to start getting mad at the person who offended me, right? Now, say that eventually I get around to talking to the right person and I make peace with them, right? Well, what's going to be happening with all those people that I talk to? Are they going to know we made peace? Do we run around and tell everybody that we told about the bad part, the good part? Or do we forget about it and just go on with life and there's still dissension in the brotherhood because we talked to the wrong people in the first place? Yeah, this is a big problem. And we deal with this problem the same way we deal with all sin. We go to our Father and we ask for forgiveness. And when we receive forgiveness from Him, then where do we go? To the people we hurt, and we ask them for forgiveness. And then what do? We go back out in the world and we do as much as possible try to undo the damage we've done. You know? Rededicate ourselves to making peace. Rededicate ourselves to valuing the people around us enough to have hard conversations. To love the people around us enough to not cause the pain in the first place by talking to the wrong people. To be involved in that ministry of reconciliation, bringing people together for a really good reason, so that we can continue to be the body of Christ on earth. And continue to do the work that needs to be done and do it together to encourage one another, to hold each other up so that we can be all part of this family and bring glory to the God who saved us. Can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're an amazing God. You redeemed us, you brought us into this family, Lord, and then you gave us work to do, and Lord, I pray that you would help us do it. Lord, we're weak, and we fail, but you are a God who can use anybody to do your work, and I pray that you would just continue to help us be faithful, help us to do what is right, help us to talk, use our words in ways that build up the body and hold people together, not pull people apart. Help us, Lord, to emulate you as you reconcile people. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Should I be restored?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have made us your children and brought us into this place, brought us into this church, brought us into this relationship with you, into this family that we get to live together and work toward the tasks that you have given us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage us as your church. Encourage us individually. Encourage us together. Help us, Lord, to do the work that needs to be done while we have time to do it. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we walk through this life. I pray that especially, Lord, for Wayne Sprick, Lord, that he is home from the hospital and that he is mending. I pray that you'd continue to be with him and Irene, give them strength as they recover. Lord, thank you for the healthy birth of our little Isaac. I pray that you would continue to be with him and his parents. Help them, Lord, to be help them to raise him in the faith, Lord, to help him to know you as the most amazing God that you are. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless each and every one of us, Lord, as we walk through this Lenten season. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in our consideration, Lord, of as we look into your perfect law. And we see our flaws, and we see the ways we have failed, and that we also remember that you love us no matter what, and that our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we grow in this relationship of knowing you as our Savior. All these things we bring before you tonight, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
So
that just happened is amazing if you stop and think about it at all. I mean, the very body and blood of Jesus, the one through whom all things was made, the one who came and died for us, the one who is in heaven now preparing a place for us, the one who is joyfully looking forward to the day when he will be reunited with his bride, the church, and takes her home to live with him forever. He was here to, he's here in this body and blood. And through this gift, we receive the salvation that he earned for us. So as we, our God is amazing. And as we can trust his promise, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive the Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us sing the final song together. My dear friends, it's so wonderful that we were able to be here together and that God could speak to us through his word. And as we continue to celebrate this Lenten season, I just ask that God would bless each and every single one of you. And I look forward to seeing you again on Sunday. God's blessings on your evening.